Hey, my name is Moises. Others call me Moses because they cannot pronounce the I. So either Moses or Moises doesn't really matter. But I am honored to be here to preach the gospel of Christ. There is nothing that I am really excited than to really preach the words of God. And I'd like to honor Pastor Philip, Sister Irene, for inviting me this morning. Amen. How many of you honor your pastor? Amen. In this church? Amen. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord for their lives? Amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, my name is Moses. I told you I would like to, introduce myself, but this time will not be enough. You will know me, better. Amen. I believe as we continue, I believe to, grow together. Because I believe that this time that I am here, doesn't end here. I always believe that everything that happens in my life and in your lives, I believe God has a greater purpose. How many of you believe that, church? Amen. Hallelujah. So, I really would like to be part of your vision. How many of you have a vision? I know you have a vision. I have been reading that you have a vision. Because if you don't have a vision, I don't want to be here. Because we come from Vision Community Global Ministries. We have a vision. And I am so passionate for people who have the vision. And, when the people have a vision, I believe that they are spirit-filled believers. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Because if you are not spirit-filled believers, there's nothing that will be happening in your vision. We need spirit-filled believers in order to be able to attain the vision. And this church, I believe, has a vision. And pastor, and brothers and sisters, I would like to be part of that. Amen. Because I believe that right now, God has given me the opportunity to be part of what God is doing here. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I would like you to open in the book of 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel. And I would like, our projectionist to help me here. I would be quoting a lot of verses. Amen. Because I am reading my Bible. Amen. And I want to come, amen, and preach the words of God. Can I hear an amen? Do you like to do that, church? So, bear with me because I will be quoting a lot of verses. And I would like you to go through with me because when I was reading my Bible for the past 2-3 weeks, this is what God is putting in my heart. I learned to, preach according to what God has put in my heart when I was reading my Bible. And I'd like you to journey with me as I discover things in the words of God in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And I would like you also to put maybe a bookmark or maybe fold or maybe remember 2 Samuel chapter 17. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 17, because we're going to flip on those two verses as our main verse this morning. Would you bow down with me, church, as we pray? Father, we thank you that you are with us. And we thank you, God, that, Lord, you are here, Father, in this place right now. We thank you that we are all here together. And God, I thank you, God, for, Lord, giving me the chance and the opportunity, Lord God, Father, to speak to your wonderful people, God, this morning in this church. And I just would like to give you praise, Father. Thank you, God, and we honor you. Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, every word that comes from my mouth, Lord, will turn to be even millions and millions of words that will keep ringing in the hearts of your people, God, not only today, but every day in our life, Lord, Father. Let these words, Father God, Lord, transform us, empower us, Lord, and encourage us today, Father, because, Lord, you are the reason why we are here. And so we thank you so much, and we just give you glory and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Give praise to the Lord, church. Amen. Hallelujah. I have entitled this message as the lost ingredient of Christian life. The lost ingredient of Christian life. Can you follow that with me? The lost ingredient of Christian life. Now, have you ever lost something? Can I hear? Or maybe can you raise your hands? Every one of you have lost something. I have lost my keys sometime. And I cannot drive my car. And so what I did is I have to look for the keys, of course. What do you do when you lost something? Especially if that is so important. My question this morning is, what is important to you? Now, if you lose something which is important, I believe you are going to look for it. How many of you agrees with me? How about if you lost your wife? Lost your husband? Do you look for them? How many of you lost their child in the mall? Maybe. Some of your friends, maybe. Lost somewhere else when maybe you are maybe going somewhere else. Or maybe you did not see your child, maybe. And just a second or just maybe a minute. Parents, I'd like to talk to you. When you cannot see your child, just even for a while, when you are outside, how do you feel? You panic? Yes, because you cannot see them. And something is happening inside of you. And what you want is to go and look for them, right? And that is if it is valuable to you. And I believe your children are so valuable. They are your life, isn't it? And if it is so valuable, then you need to look for them. Amen. Again, I'd like to go back. If you lose your wife, do you look for them? And your husband? Amen. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not only your child. Amen. Sometimes I listen, oh, it's okay. He will come back. But sometimes there is something inside if we lose something. And I am I would say, I was just contemplating on this once, because if you lose something so important, you want to do everything in the world to look for that because it is so valuable. I lost, my keys, as I told you, when I was about to attend the meeting, and I didn't want to, miss that meeting, and, I lost the keys. So what I did is to turn all my beds upside down, all the drawers, all the, things in the house, just for me to be able to find the keys. One time I lost my wallet. Though I don't have money there, I have many cards because I don't usually have cash. And so I have to call the banks. Have you lost your wallet and then you call the banks? Why? It's so valuable. You need to do something. My, question to you now, church, is in your Christian life, if you know that you lost something in your Christian life, what do you do? If there is something that you have been missing before or you have been experiencing before and now you don't feel it, are you looking for it? Would you want to come and do everything that needs to be done in order for you to find that something that which you have lost? The problem with us is that if it is not valuable, then we will not, look for it. So the question is, what is valuable in Christian life? What is so valuable and so special that when it is lost, you are going to look for it? But this one differs now. What is valuable to you, my brother, and valuable to you, sister, or maybe to, you know, anyone else may be different in our Christian life. And that's, I would like to, you know, come to this scripture because I discovered something. And I believe in your mind today, many things are, you know, coming to your mind. What is valuable in Christian life that we need to find? In the scriptures that we're going to read, it is about King David. Amen. Can I have a bit of monitor in front, Buster, so I can hear? Can you increase the, you know, volume in front? In the scripture that we're going to read, if you might find this, this is about David. I was so amazed in the life of David. How many of you knows David, church? Amen. So I am going going through with this because in the life of David, everyone knows that the heart of God is with David. And he is the man after what? God's own heart. He was described as a man after God's own heart. But a closer study in the life of David, just to give you a context of what we're going to read, because we're going to follow through with the scriptures afterwards. A closer study in the life of David, however, would not reveal that he is a perfect man. Agree? But rather, a man, although he was a man after God's own heart, he has failed in many ways. He has sinned in many ways. So the question that we must ask then is that, how did David survive and even sustained himself amidst all the problems in his life? Amidst all the failures in his life? How many here have failures in their lives? Discouragements, frustrations, amen. How many here are perfect? So we are the same like David, right? Lot of failures. But hey, church, look at me. David, amidst all the trials, frustrations, and sins, and a lot of things that has happened in his life, remained to be a man after God's own heart. Why do you think that despite of those things that he has done, he still is the man after God's own heart? Do you want to become a man and woman after God's own heart? And this church, can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But how did he do that? How many of you that, you know, David is a mighty man of war? Amen. He is a mighty man of war. And he has about 10 or about 30 to 37 members of the mighty men of war. He is a team, and we're going to read that. About 30 of them. And in fact, some of the scripture says they are 37, but only 30 is listed. About 37 members of the mighty men of war. They are just like the Navy SEALs in the United States. How do we call this in Australia? They are the elite, the military elite. They are the conquerors, the mighty men. They are well trained. That's why we call them Navy SEALs, is because they can operate in sea, in air, and land. That's why they are called Navy SEALs. But this mighty man of war of David is more than that, I believe. And I will show you how these mighty men of war are different to any, you know, mighty men of war in our times. This man for me is remarkable and may, you know, be only in land before, because they were not fighting in the sea or in the air. No airplanes before. They are all in the mountains. But you would see that they are so great. Mighty men of war. They have conquered the Jebusites, if you can remember. Just a historical you know, background of this. They receive recognition and assurance, you know, as an ally from Hiram of Tyre, king of Phoenicians. They defeated the Philistines, the Moabites. They defeated the Arameans. Are you following me, church? They defeated the Edomites in that. They defeated the Ammonites. They defeated the Canaanites, the cities, the Amalekites. Every, you know, countries and group of people that would like to overcome them, they defeated them all. That's why they were called the mighty men of war. I believe this church, you know, our pastor, I believe, was preaching that we should become overcomers. Amen. He would like us to become overcomers, you know, in this life. We would like to overcome. Like, we need to become mighty men of war. And that's why in 2 Samuel chapter 23, you know, and maybe I would like to start in verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse, you know, 8. If you will see there, if you open your Bibles, these are the names of David's mighty warriors. Are you ready, church? Joseph, Bashbib, a Tachimonite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men. If you're looking at your Bibles, he raised his spear against 800 men. So one spear, 800 men. So have you found any person in this world today that one spear you can kill 800 men? Whom he killed in one encounter, he said. And if you have your Bibles, jump in verse 13 in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. Jump in chapter 13. Okay, chapter 13. Verse 13, sorry. Chapter 23 and verse 13. Quickly, it says there, three of the 30 leading warriors went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam while a company of Philistines was camping in the valley of Rephaim. So 30, it is recorded there. I'd like you to just see that there were 30, amen, in verse 13, 30 leading warriors. Now, church, how many of you have read this before? Maybe you have read this before, but you may not just be so aware of the specifics. But I'm just telling you the specifics of this, about 30 mighty men of war. Now, let's go back to verse 1. I just would like to show you. Can we go back to verse 1 in chapter 23? Are you ready? It says there, Joseph, Bathsheba, the Tachmonite, was chief of the officers. He wielded the spear against 800 men that killed at one time. Now, go to verse 8. Okay, just a journey with me with this one. Go to verse 8. Eleazar, the man of Israel, retreated in the place they had gathered for battle, but Eleazar stood his ground and attacked the Philistines until his hand was tired and stuck to his sword. Meaning this one man was on the ground and attacked many Philistines for that matter, but he was just alone. Verse 11. Go to verse 11. After him was Shammah. Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field, defended it, and struck down the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Just one man of thousands of people. Just one man, part of the team of the great mighty man of war like David. Now, what's your point, Pastor? What are you reading this? Do you know that though he was a mighty man of war, David, and he can conquer many, and his men were trained to overcome all their enemies in a remarkable way, David has been shattered and has been broken inside. So he was so great outside, but on the inside, he was broken. He was shattered because his son Absalom has rebelled against him. One of the things that has happened. Well, you were able to conquer many people, but your son, you were not able to overcome. Do you see the contrast? A mighty man of war, killing thousands and millions, and they can stand in the war, but not able to stand against one, his son, who rebelled against him. 2 Samuel, let's so we go to chapter 17. Okay, in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 7 to 10. Are you still with me, church? 7 to 10. Hushai replied to Absalom, "The advice Ahithophel has given is not good this time. You know, your father and his men, they are fighters." Hushai, who replied to Absalom, he was saying, "Your father and his men, they are fighters. And as fierce as a wild bear rub over cubs, beside your father is an experienced fighter. He will not spend the night with the troops. Even now he is hidden in a cave or some other places. If we should attack your troops first, whosoever hears about it will say this, there has been a slaughter among the troops who follow Absalom." And then you just jump in verse 10. He said, "Then even the bravest soldier whose heart is like the heart of a lion will melt with fear, for all Israel knows that your father is a fighter and that those with him are brave." So Hisham was telling this to Absalom. But Absalom still rebelled. How many of you are fathers here? Amen. How do you feel if your son or your daughters are rebelling? It's painful, right? So you would see the pain of David. But he is a mighty man of war. But there is a pain inside. Is this what we have lost? Is this what we have lost, Pastor, being a mighty man of war? Is this what we have lost? Let us go through. Amen. In fact, even in his early life problem, he started as an anointed king. He was anointed. How many of you would like to be anointed? Amen. Even when David was young, he was anointed to become king. And who knows that David, when even he was young, he was a worshiper. He was a worshiper when even he was young. He was close with God. His heart was with God. But even then, he made terrible choices in his life. He failed as a father. How many are fathers here? He failed as a king. But he is a mighty man of war. Now, examples of some of the things that has happened to him. Even his commander, Joab, if you know, has even rebelled and did not follow his orders. But he was regarded as a mighty man of war. He conquered everyone. But it seems not coming into what? It seems like we cannot, you know, align what is happening in his life. Because even there was civil, you know, problems. And in fact, he committed an adultery with Bathsheba. David is a broken man, but he was mighty in the outside. But in the inside, he was broken in his family, broken in his personal life, and, you know, broken in his kingdom because many people have rebelled against him. Not only his son, even, you know, his son Adonijah, if you must have read in your Bible, have rebelled against him. Chaos, trouble. But, hey church, what I'm telling you is that he still managed to be the man after God's own heart. He became a mighty warrior, but still he has broken in the inside. He was broken in his family. He is broken in his leadership. All. So there were successes. Amen. Have you experienced successes in your life? Can I hear an amen? Did you have a successes? You can say that, hey, I have done that. But do you know that you also have failures? Amen. All of us have failures and discouragements. So all of these things that I would like you to see are all things that are happening not only in David, but every one of us will experience this. My point is, he still remained as a man after God's own heart. And so then, what is it that David had? Why was he able to sustain himself? Why was he able to remain, you know, amidst of the, you know, discouragement and trials and failures in his life? What did he do in order to remain as a man after God's own heart? Amen. So interesting to know, church, right? You know, maybe some of you, hey, yeah, because David was a great worshiper. Do you agree with me, church, that he was a great worshiper? Do you know that David was the one who wrote the book of Psalms? They say he has written a lot of the book of Psalms. And if you read the book of Psalms, you would really see a man after God's own heart of worship. Do you feel that, church, when you're reading, you know, the book of Psalms? And that is, you know, in the heart of David. But do you know that David started to become anointed and a worshiper even he was in his childhood days? Are you following me, church? Even in his childhood days, he was already anointed and he was a worshiper. I know and I believe that this church knows when I say you are anointed. Amen? When you have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I know you know what I mean when you say you have the Spirit of God stirring in you, the fire, I believe. You know that. But even in the middle of those things, David did not, you know, continue to become successful. In the middle of his being a worshiper, in the middle of his being anointed, he failed. He failed. Are you following me? He did not remain perfect in all his life, though he was anointed, though he was a worshiper. He still failed. And so, what do you think did David have? And this is where I came into this question, the lost ingredient of our Christian life, because I have been preaching the book of David many times, but on this time, I step back and look what is really happening in the life of David. Now, if you go to Psalms 34, now let's go to the book of Psalms, and let's see what was David writing in the book of Psalms that will reflect why I believe he was able to survive. How many of you in this church would like to survive amidst all the things that is happening in this world today? Amen. We recognize the enemy. We need to become overcomers, I believe. And I know that you know how to become overcomers. I know you would, you know what to become a spirit-filled. I know that. I believe you know that. You know the power of the words of God. This church believes in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The power of the word of God. The power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The power of worship. Hallelujah. Is so amazing. And David has it all. David has it all. In Psalms chapter 34 verse 1 to 3. Looking into this. He said, I will extol the Lord at all times. He said at all times. So we are not going to extol the Lord only at specific times. Do you agree with me, church? Not only when we come here, we extol the Lord. You know, at all times, he said, his praise will always be on my lips, he said. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now jump in Psalms 96 verse 1 to 3. Amen. So if you will not be able to flick that, because we will be running out of time, just, you know, listen. Psalm 96 verse 1 to 3 says, sing to the Lord a new song. How many of us sings a new song in our hearts? Amen. And he said, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Wow. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. So important. He is telling about the heart of worship. Sing to the Lord a new song in Psalms 98, verse 3. He has done marvelous things. Hello? Did God do marvelous things in your lives? Amen? But God, you know, the word of the Lord said that you are going to worship and praise him all your days. Not only those times that you know that you have received your blessings. Even though you haven't received your blessings yet, you are still going to praise him and glorify him. You may have failed today like David, but David said, I will praise the Lord at all times. His Absalom, his son has rebelled against him, but what he said, I will praise the Lord at all times. Hello? He may be defeated at times, but he said, I will praise the Lord at all times. Because he knows that God is always there. God does not change if your circumstances change. Because no circumstances will change God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Come on, just give him praise. No matter what, no matter situation, hallelujah, you may fail today, you may be discouraged today, you may be frustrated today, but God remains faithful, hallelujah. And that is what this David is saying. I will extol the Lord forever. So, Pastor, are you saying that what we lost is worship? Is that what you're saying? Did we lose worship then? Is that what you're saying? Because David was a worshiper and prayerful person. Hey, church, would you want to know this important ingredient in your life? Would you want to know what David has done in order to sustain himself amidst all the things that is happening in his life? You know, I've been reading pastors, you know, in your bulletin, your newsletter, heart. And I see his heart that he wants us all to become overcomers, who like to everything that has happened to you and families. I believe, you know, many families here has been broken in many sort or whatever. Maybe the enemy is, you know, working. But hey, God is working as well. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Amen. In his heart that, you know, we will become, overcomers and that we will be victorious. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that we need this. We have all these things, but something that we need to see here. David was a worshiper, a prayerful person. Because in Psalms, even before, you know, his adultery, he was a prayerful person. Before he committed adultery, he was a prayerful person. Hey, church, listen to me. I am not justifying what he has done. I am not saying that what he has done is all right and it's okay. I would like you to know, and I'd like to preach this, that whatever you have committed, sin, there will be consequences. But God is full of grace and mercy to those who will come back to the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. So if you have failed, go back to God. Because only him can lift you up. Come on, just give him praise. Hallelujah. There will be consequences. Amen. But I believe that when you come back to God, God is full of mercy and grace to those who will come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of Jesus. He still sinned. And when he sinned, one thing that I have seen to him, he goes back to God. And, you know, in fact, in Psalms chapter 23, and this is your favorite, some of you may be your favorite verse, Psalms chapter 23, you know, verse 1 to 3, when he said, the Lord is what? My shepherd, and I will lack nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. He makes me lie down in what? In green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. And so, when we read about the life of David, one, the great man of war in the scriptures, you know, is not so much of his courage and his exploits as a mighty man of war. But, you know, of course, that is so important. But now, when I read the life of David, I do not only look at his exploits, but I look also the failures that he has done, and I see the hands of the mighty living God sustaining him and bringing him through in his life. Sometimes we emphasize of his being good and, you know, a heart after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart, and we forget that he was also weak. And that's what I would like to have, a holistic, I would say, understanding of what David was, because my goal this morning is to be able for all of us to see that ingredient that we want to have. Because tomorrow, you know, the enemy may come and will put us down, but we will always be victorious. Nothing will stop us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11 says, and this is Paul, he said, for me to live, you know, as Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain. If we look at even Paul, he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, I want to know Christ in my life. And I think David is a man that will tell you in his, you know, Psalms that he wanted to know God more in his life. And so when he failed, he said, Lord, I failed, but I want to know you more in these failures that I have. My marriage has been broken, but I will not stop. I'll rise up. I'll come back to you because I want to know you more in my life of this thing that has happened in my life. Maybe I failed in my work, but hey, I will not stop coming and worshiping you. And I want to know you more in my life in this failure that I may have. I will not stop because his objective is to know Christ more in his life. You know, Philippians chapter 42, which I have seen that in your, you know, newsletter as well. And I was, you know, in the morning was crying to the Lord, you know, my tears. Because Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 to 2 says there, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? How many of you would like to long for God? To pant, you know, just, you know, thirsting and thirsting for God all the more. And then I don't know why this was written there, because I believe that this church, amen, hallelujah, wants to be after God, amen. Because I believe this church would like to thirst for God. Am I telling this correctly, church? Do you want to go after God? Hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. And David's life, I believe when I saw all his, you know, writings, was so passionate. And this is just my observation, church. I'm just sharing to you what God has put in my heart. He was so passionate of a love relationship with God. We read the songs. We are reminded once again that this is the kind of relationship that God desires us. There is a relationship in the good times and in the bad times. of the life of David, his passion for God is the same. Hello, church. Hallelujah. Though in the up, when you are in the up, and when you are in the down, your passion, your relationship with God remains the same. It must remain the same. Whether or not you are in the good times or bad times, doesn't affect your relationship with God. Hallelujah. And that is what I can see, you know, that has sustained David. His passion not to lose God. And he said, as the deer pants for water, the streams of water panted my soul after thee, O God. Church, this is where I discovered the most important, I would say, ingredient in our life. And I don't want to come here and argue, you know, that all the things that you may know is not relevant. I'm not saying that. That, you know, like even prayer is important with God. Pastor, right? You have a prayer meeting, amen? Because that's so important, so valuable. I'm not saying that that's not valuable, that's not important. The Spirit of God is important, right? The Word of God, what else is important and valuable? The Word of God? The Spirit of God being fire? What else? Prayer is so important. Praise is important. Worship is important. What, sister? The blood of Jesus is important. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood of Jesus. We had just this communion because it represents the death and resurrection of Jesus. The blood is in us. And I believe that you are all here because you recognize the blood of Jesus. Amen. You recognize that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And that's why you are all here. Am I saying it correctly, church? You are all here because you are passionate to worship God, to pray, to hear the words of God. They are all valuable. They are so important. And I have nothing against that. What I am saying, church, that I have discovered with David is that David has it all, even more than us. Hello? He is much, I believe, a worshiper than us. Not to just make a comparison, but he had written the book of Psalms. He was anointed. He has the Spirit of God. He was a prayerful man. He has the words of God in his life. He knows about that. He did mighty things to God. Not only to God, but all his nations. He has it all. But he remained as a failure. He was not perfect in many ways. He was not a perfect father. Amen. Hey, fathers, do you want to become good? Better? But you can never become perfect, right? Mothers, your heart, and I believe David's heart is to become the best. But he was not the best. Because he has ups, but he has downs. Does this reflect our lives, church? Does this reflect our lives? And so, what is that ingredient that somehow is lost then in our life that we need to pursue? I believe that unless you continue to hunger and thirst for God, then your worship will never continue. But you worship God. We worship God. Unless you thirst and hunger for God, you will not continue to pray. I hope you're getting this, church. I have nothing against prayer. I have nothing against worship. I have nothing against, you know, spiritual warfare and whatever we do. But unless we hunger and thirst for God, we will stop. And I know that. I am a pastor for 20 years now, and I have seen many people, even young people, so passionate to worship God at the beginning. But when they are in love with somebody else, they fail. They don't go back to church because they pursue the boyfriend and the girlfriend more than God. But they were so passionate. They were like to serve God. How many of you have found these people? They would like to serve God. They come and pray. But if something happens along the way, you know, they stop. There's something that is happening. But they do all these things, you know. Now, I have seen, now I'm talking about in the context of David Church, amen. And I'm speaking this word according to what I have seen in the life of David. David, you know, I believe what sustained him amidst all those ups and downs is that he, you know, sought God always in his life. He sought God. He followed God. He hungered and thirsted for God. So which means to say that even though you are on the upside of your life, don't stop hungering and thirsting for God. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Because it may happen that even in you are in the up. David was in the up, but he was in the balcony and then he has seen Bathsheba. He was on the up. But he have seen Bathsheba and he failed. So wherever you are, whenever you are, whatever situation in our life, I believe we need to continue to hunger and thirst for God. When we hunger and thirst for God, your prayers will never stop. When you hunger and thirst for God, though you are successful now, you will not stop. As all when you have failed God, or you have not, you know, had the things that you wanted, when you hunger and thirst for God, you will continue to prevail and overcome things because you hunger and thirst for God no matter what. You can come and worship God, attend Sundays, communities, or your Bible studies, you know, in different suburbs. But unless you hunger and thirst for God always, you know, then, you know, you will not continue. I believe because you don't have a hunger and thirst. We don't want to go here just because of the motions. We don't go to our Bible study just because pastor has asked you and he has announced. We are not going because you are going. I am going because I hunger and thirst for God. I want to meet God. I want to be with my God. And that's what I like. And I think your vision in this church is to be in the Zion, right? You want to reach Zion. And what is Zion? Zion is where Jesus Christ is. The presence of God. The kingdom of God. That is our goal. Amen. And we need to hunger and thirst for that always. I was asking myself, I'm ending now. I was asking myself, how could I explain this better to your people, Lord? Because we always hear this. We always hear preachings like, you need to hunger and thirst for God. I have come to the point, you know, in my life, in my preaching now, that whenever I ask the Lord, Lord, these people have, your wonderful people have already heard this. How many of you have heard preaching about hungering and thirsting for God? Just to be honest. Come on. Just raise your hands. Amen. See? You have heard that before. Amen. What's the difference now? What's the difference of hearing and hungering and thirsting for God? How many of you have experienced dieting? Diet. Did you know about this, you know, so-called keto diet that they're doing now? Or low-carb diet, something like that? You don't eat much carbs. Because carbs, if too much carbs, it will turn into more calories. How many of you are in medical school here, or you're learning something in the school? Like when you have too much calories, you will have too much weight. When you drink more sugar or take sugar, you will increase your weight. Too much calories, right? Are you there? And that's why you diet. Sometimes you don't eat rice because you don't want to increase your weight, and you are dieting. That's why you have a goal, right? When you diet, you have a goal. It's good to diet because we would like to become healthy. Correct? When we diet, we stop eating things that may be harmful to our bodies. Am I right? Which is good. We become healthy. We limit our intake of sugar, limit, you know, those ones which are fatty foods, limit those, too much calories, like, you know, soft drinks maybe 8 times a day, you know, or KFC 10 times a day, you know, even 12 o'clock in the midnight, KFC or what, Krispy Kreme. Oh, wow. So good. But when you are dieting, you shun yourself. You stop yourselves of eating something that may be detrimental to your body. Correct, church? Amen? In dieting, and I learned this. This is what God has given me in order for you to be able to understand what I am saying. When you are dieting, were there times that you hunger and thirst? Especially when you're dieting. Ah, no, today, my diet, no sugar, no rice. But when you see the people eating, wow. How can I eat that? You know, if I have only this, and then they have Krispy Kreme after that, they have this ice cream after that. So you are craving. Hello, church, are you craving? Yeah. But you cannot. But sometimes you cheat, right? You cheat because at the middle of the night, when everybody is sleeping, somebody is going to the refrigerator and then eating. Especially if husband and wives have agreed together that they will have diet. And then the wife comes, hey, I see you. So sometimes we cheat. And hey, church, this is what we do in our spiritual lives. We cheat. This is what we do. Hey, this is where there is hungering and thirsting. And so, when you are in a diet, you hunger and thirst. And you would like to remain hungry and thirsty. And do not eat those things because you would like to become healthy in your spiritual life. In the same way, in our relationship with God, when you stay hungry and thirsty because you want only to hunger and thirst for the right things, which is God, and because you would like to stop yourselves in taking in things that are unhealthy in your spiritual lives. Are you getting this, church? That is how I explain about hungering and thirsting for God. Because sometimes for us, hungering and thirsting, I know that. But hey, in hungering and thirsting for God, you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because the Bible says, those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness sake, God will fill them. God will satisfy them. Hallelujah. And then when you're hungering and thirsting so that it works in your spiritual life, you stop yourself from things that are not worthy of God. Things that you come in your spiritual lives. You know, like lust of the flesh, the pride of life, lust of the eyes. In Galatians chapter 2, the pride of life. How many of you have pride? Chicken. Frying chicken, you know, but pride of your life. Every one of us have that, but when we hunger and thirst for God, we stop. We want to retaliate, and we want to say back We want revenge. We want to do this, but because we are being, limited, because we hunger and thirst for God, we don't do that. Because you want to stay healthy in your spiritual life. And I think that is the way I will be able to explain hungering and thirsting for God. You know, hunger for righteousness, hunger for joy, hunger for patience, hunger for love, hunger for peace, hunger for righteousness before God. And you know, stop eating or stop things that comes to your life, you know, that ruins your eyes, your flesh, like the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, you know, all the things of the world, you stop. And sometimes even there is a need for you to stop going to the Facebook maybe. Stop maybe watching movies for some time. Hey, are you there? Stop maybe going to that place for some time. Stop going to those friends for some time. Because at those times you are hungering and thirsting for God. And you don't want that there will be a mixture of something, and you would like just to focus on God. So meaning, when you hunger and thirst for God, you need to do some actions. You need to do some dieting. And hey, for me, not only dieting, I think you need to do more fasting. You fast. You know, because when you fast, you hunger and thirst for God. And that will bring, you know, the power and the fire in your life. Amen. Where's Brother Arnel here? Do you have Brother Arnel here? Pastor? Brother Arnel. Do you have a Brother Arnel before here? Name Arnel? No. Ah, okay. Maybe he's not in this church. Amen. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. He was speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the power of the Holy Spirit will continually be upon us all when we continue to hunger and thirst for God. Church, I like to, you know, ask our maybe worship team pastor to come and, sing Ask the Dear Panted For. Can we sing that? Ask the Dear Panted For, so that we can come to the Lord. Is that okay? Can you do that? Hallelujah. How many of you would like to long for God? Hallelujah. Hunger and thirst, you know, for God. The Holy Spirit would like to be upon us always. But when you don't want to give a room and space in your heart, then the Holy Spirit will not remain. I believe when you give room, when you say, God, Lord, I long for you. Imagine when you long for God every day of your life. Imagine when you hunger and thirst for God every minute of your life. Church, are you listening? Every day, not only on Sunday, you hunger and thirst for God. When you go to work, you hunger and thirst for God. Imagine what will happen to your work. Whenever you are confronted with problems, you hunger and thirst for God. Whenever you are maltreated or maybe oppressed or maybe not treated properly well by any other people, when you hunger and thirst for God, what happens? When you got those problems in your life, you hunger and thirst for God. You are giving space. I'd like you to stand with me, because today we would like to give space to the Lord. Hallelujah. And tell Him, Lord, I long for you. Hallelujah. I long for you, Jesus. It is my prayer that this church, hallelujah, will continue hungering and thirsting for God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Just worship Him. Just worship Him.